that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at, and our hands have touched. This we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared. We have seen it and testified to it. And we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to you, we write this to make our joy complete. Let's pray. Father God, we pray that as we look at your word this morning, we might understand what fellowship is all about. And I pray, Lord, having learned, we may put it into practice. And we may do what the first church did and be committed to fellowship. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you notice here that John, it's the Apostle John, he's writing this letter and he says, look, we want to tell you, and if I could summarize what he's saying there, he's saying, we want to tell you about Jesus. We want to proclaim to you Jesus Christ. And in proclaiming Jesus Christ, we want you to understand who he is, what he has done for you, and that having done that, you might join our fellowship. The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ died, he was buried, and he rose again. That he died for our sins, and he rose to set us free from sin. And that when we place our trust in Jesus Christ, we become part of God's fellowship. We have fellowship with God, and then each one of us joins in fellowship with one another. We join in a relationship with one another. The word fellowship means participation. Communion, fellowship. It means that we participate with other believers, that when we come to Christ, we become part of the fellowship of believers. This month, we are encouraging you to have fellowship with someone else in the church. Let me ask, who this month so far has had someone over their home or done something with somebody as a result of Fellowship Month? All right, several of you. We want everyone to participate. We want everyone to be part of that. And this morning, I want to tell you why. You know, some people come to church and they think that the fullness of church life is to come to church, sing a few songs, hear a message about God's word, pray some, take an offering, go home, and that's it. We've done our church life. That's all that church is about. But I want you to know this morning, church is about more than that. In fact, church is about more than what we do right here. Christianity is about more than what we do inside this building. And if the entirety of your Christian life is done inside this building, then you are really missing out on what Christianity is all about. When you come to church and you fly out the door as soon as this service is over, I want you to know you're missing out. If you come to church and you're kind of talking to people and you're slowly making your way to the door, that's fellowship. That's communication. That's participation with other believers and getting to know one another. And that should not stop in this building. It should go out from here. Some of us gather together and we go to the Scranton Rescue Mission. Some of us get together and we go fishing. You know, some of us get together and do other kinds of things. We have a couples class that's going to begin starting that'll be meeting in my home in a couple weeks. And, you know, we're going to be meeting for a few months. You know, there's all kinds of things that ought to be happening outside of this building. We ought to be involved in fellowship with one another. You may have heard the word that is behind fellowship. It's the Greek word koinonia. And sometimes you'll see Christian groups gathering together and they will call them koinonia groups. It's just groups where they're fellowshipping. We can fellowship as we do ministry. We can fellowship as we do evangelism. And we can fellowship in one another's homes. We are participating in each other's life. And all I want to do this morning is to encourage every single person that's here to fellowship, to do something with someone else outside this building sometime this month. You may have someone over your home to eat dinner. You may have someone home or over your home for ice cream. You may go out for a meal, but have fellowship with someone sometime during this month. And I want to give you several reasons why you ought to do that, why you ought to participate in fellowship. Reason number one, we are all part of the same family. We are all part of the same family. I want you to take your Bible and turn to Galatians chapter 6. I want to show you a couple, several passages this morning. Galatians chapter 6, verse 10. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. So as Christians, we have a responsibility to do good to all people. We live in the world, don't we, where everyone seems to be trying to outdo one another and being rotten? I mean, there's just so many people out in the world, they just want to be rotten to other people. Paul says here, look, do good to everybody, but especially if they are part of the family of believers. When you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, you become part of God's family. You become one of God's children. 1 John chapter 3 says how great it is, how rich it is, how fantastic it is that God has lavished his love on us, that we should be called sons of God, that we should be called children of God. Most of us are from broken families. How many of you, if you're here this morning, you're from a broken family, raise your hand. Bunch of us. You know, your mom and dad aren't necessarily your blood-related mom and dad. You are somehow, your family has been broken up and maybe you've been brought together in another family, but that original family has been broken. Isn't it great when we see that in families that we still have a family that we can turn to? There are many families that don't talk to each other anymore. There are many families where brothers, sisters don't talk to one another. Children don't talk to parents. Parents don't talk to children. But I want you to know, no matter where you find yourself in a blood family relationship, the Bible says that we have God's family that we can turn to. And if you are here this morning, and if you have received Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are part of God's family. And no matter what your background, no matter what your nationality, you are part of God's family. Isn't it amazing how you can go to a church and there can be so many people from so many nationalities, speak so many different languages, but we can all come together and have fellowship with one another because we are part of God's family? As I said, many families don't talk with one another, but since we are part of God's family, that ought not to be true of us. We ought to be spending time with one another. We ought to be fellowshipping with one another. You know, the word church literally means the called out ones. When we speak of the church, it means the called out ones. God has called from every nation, from every groups of people, from all over the area, and he has called out his children, he has called out believers, he's called them out from the world to become part of his family. You are part of God's family. You ought to be spending time fellowshipping with one another, participating with one another, spending time in communion with one another. In fact, not only are we a family, but we're also a body. We're all part of the same family, which is a body. Turn over with me to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Notice verse 19. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people, members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as a chief cornerstone. In him the whole building is joined together, and it rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him you are being built together to become a dwelling which is God's, in which God lives by his Spirit. No longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens. Part of the same body. Romans chapter 12 talks about us being part of a body. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 talks about us being part of a body. We are a family, fellow citizens, which are part of the same body. Could you imagine? I want you to use your imagination for a moment. And we take a body and we split that body up. You know, we take that body, we have that body here, and that body has a head and hands and arms and legs and feet and the body. But before we leave this morning, we break that body up. So when the body leaves, the hand goes that way, the other hand goes that way, the head goes up the hill, the feet go down the hill, the legs go, you know, the Wilkes-Barre, the ankles go to Dunmore. I mean, they go all over the place, but it doesn't come back together. It doesn't function as a body. There are many professed Christians, even Christian, who think that they don't need to have any relationship with any other Christian. That they are an individual kind of set off all by themselves. And that there's no need to have a relationship with anybody else in the church, no need to have fellowship with anyone else in the church. They are individuals. But that is not how God wants his family to function. That is not how God wants his body to function. God wants his family, God wants his citizenship, God wants his body to function together, to work together, to accomplish something for him. To win this world to Jesus Christ, to get the gospel to this world, to help believers to grow. We need to spend time with one another. We need to fellowship together. That is the example we are given from the very first church. And that is the second reason I want to give you this morning for fellowshipping together. It's the example of the first church. Turn with me in your Bible, Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, Bob read this before. I want to look at just one of the verses Bob read. Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to breaking of bread and to prayer. The first church, the church of Jerusalem, these are the things that they devoted themselves to. The word devoted means to do something with intense effort. to persist in doing something, to keep on doing something. So the first church, as they gathered together in Jerusalem, they devoted themselves to several different things. One of them was fellowship. In other words, they persisted in getting together and spending time with one another. Fellowship. They devoted themselves to it, to being with one another. In fact, they so devoted themselves to it that when you look in the book of Acts, every time there's a major thing going on in the book of Acts, what do we find? We find the church spending time with one another. We find the church being together. Let me show you. We're in Acts chapter 2. Turn over to Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12, verse 1. It was about this time that King Herod arrested some who belonged to the church, intending to persecute them. He had James, the brother of John, put to death with the sword. When he saw that this pleased the Jews, he proceeded to seize Peter also. This happened during the Feast of Unleavened Bread. After arresting him, he put him in prison, handing him over to be guarded by four squads of four soldiers each. Herod intended to bring him out for public trial after the Passover. So Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. Now, I want you to notice, we come to Acts chapter 12. Herod finds out that killing Christians is a good thing. Herod finds out that killing Christians is something that, you know, he could get everyone to like him for. Herod put his finger to the wind and kind of saw which way the wind was blowing. Not unlike some of our presidents in our day and age. You know, let's find out what the polls say, and whatever the polls say, then we'll do what the polls say. And other times, they just do what they want to do, regardless of what the people want. Herod finds out killing Christians is a good thing. So he kills one, and then he goes after Peter, and he thinks, you know what, I'm going to kill Peter. And I want you to notice, what do you do? We find the church gathered together, and what are they doing? They're praying. Could you imagine if that was like a prayer meeting today for our churches? We'd all be sitting together praying, God, get Peter out of jail, but we really don't believe you're going to do that, but we'll sit here and pray anyway. Isn't that the way many churches pray today? We really don't believe that God's going to do anything different. He's just going to make our hearts feel better. So let's gather together in prayer, but we know Peter's not going to get out of jail. They're gathered together and they're praying for Peter. Notice verse 6, the night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the sentry stood guard at the entrance. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up. Quick, get up, he said. And the chains fell off Peter's wrists, and Peter leaves the jail and begins walking. He's walking around. God had answered the prayer of the church. Now, why don't you skip down to verse 12? When this had dawned on him, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, also called Mark, where many people had gathered and were praying. It was not the entire church. Church by this time is gigantic. But part of the church had broken off, and what were they doing? They were spending time in fellowship with one another, and specifically they were praying for Peter, probably along with many other things. See, when you look in the Bible, what you find is the church had gathered together, and they had gathered together, and they gathered together, and they gathered together. They were devoted to fellowship. They were devoted to spending time together. We are a living body. We are to be interconnected with one another, involved in each other's lives, together to serve God, together to fulfill the great commandment, the great commission, to do what God has called us to do. But if all we do is gather together at church, and then after church we all scatter, never to see each other again, we're missing out on all that God has for us as a church. In fact, that takes me to the third thing. Third reason why we ought to fellowship together is the one another verses in the Bible. All the one another verses. New Testament has numerous verses that are called one another verses because in them they say one another or each other. They speak of our responsibilities towards each other. They speak of the benefit we can have when we fellowship with one another. In fact, turn with me to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13 and verse 8. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. Commandments, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet, and whatever other commandment there may be are summed up in this one rule. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to its neighbor. Therefore, if it is love is the fulfillment of the law. Love one another. I want you to know it is almost impossible to love one another unless you spend time with one another. We are to love one another, and you can't love other believers, and that's what he's talking about, love other believers, unless somehow, somewhere, at some time, you are spending time with other believers in fellowship. There are many other one another verses. Let me give you a few examples. Bible says we are to serve each other. We are to serve each other. When we spend time with one another, it gives us that opportunity to serve each other, to help each other. We are to encourage one another. You know, isn't it great? As tough as this world is, we have one another to help one another. We have each other to lean on. When things get difficult, we always know we can pick up the phone and talk to someone else. We know we can pick up the phone and ask someone to pray for us. At least that is if you're beginning to build relationships with one another, with each other. We're told in the Bible that we are to carry each other's burdens. There was a picture of a boy carrying a cripple on his back. And he was asked if the cripple he was carrying was heavy. And the boy said, he's not heavy. He's my brother. I wonder, whose life are you helping? Who are you helping to deal with this world? Who are you encouraging? Who are you, reaching out your hand to another believer, another Christian, saying, yeah, I want to help you. I want to help you with the difficulties. I want to help you with your burdens. It says we are to be concerned for one another. Church family enlarges all the people that are concerned for us, enlarges the amount of people that pray for us. We are to be concerned for each other. We are to build one another up. We are to pray for one another. We are to teach one another. We are to share with God's people who are in need. All these one another verses, and there's no way you can fulfill them unless you spend time with other believers outside this building. The totality of church is not what you do here. This should only be part of it. Christianity is much more than just what goes on here. In fact, let me say it this way. Turn your Bible to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. and verse 25. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching. Fourth reason we ought to have fellowship is because we are commanded to spend time with each other. We are commanded to spend time with each other. He says, do not give up meeting together. But all the more, as we see the day approaching, that is, the day of Christ's return, we are to spend more and more time with each other, encouraging each other. Not just as we gather together for worship, but at other times too. Serving God outside the church, just spending time in a meal together, doing things with other believers, doing things together, and all the more as we see Christ's day getting closer. So I want to encourage you during this month to find at least one other family unit that maybe you haven't had over your home. Maybe you haven't gone out to eat with. Maybe you haven't done something together. One other family unit, that may be a whole family, maybe an individual, but someone outside of you, someone outside your family to spend time together with. I know it can be scary. I know that you have to kind of come out of your comfort zone. But I want to encourage you to do that. You know, we do this every year. Every year we have a month that we set aside for fellowship. That doesn't mean you don't fellowship at other times. It just means as a leadership team, we are strongly encouraging you, especially at this time, to spend time with someone else. Maybe a half hour, maybe an hour, maybe a couple hours, where you just get to know someone else. Wasn't it great last week? There were 110 people in church last week. Everybody was all excited. Look at all the people in church. Isn't that great? Isn't that great when you see a lot of people? Let me say this to you this morning. If people come to our church and they do not connect with someone else, they do not stay. And that's the reality of church life. And the reason many of you are here this morning have stayed, at least one reason, is you've connected with someone else. Now that you are here, you need to then now turn around to somebody else and connect with them. Find someone, maybe it might be the only time you ever go out with them, but find someone during this month and spend time in fellowship. Let's pray. Father God, help us to come outside of our shells. Help us, Lord, to come out of our comfort zones. Help us, Father, to look beyond ourselves and reach out to some other believer. Help us, Lord. I pray that everyone here this morning would realize that church life, that Christianity is more than when we just gather together for corporate worship. Help us, Lord, build each other's lives outside of this building. Help us, Lord, to serve together outside of this building. And I pray, Lord, that we might be devoted to fellowship. And especially this month, Lord, help us to spend time with someone, another believer in our church. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.